the Chaplain General to the United Kingdom Land Forces rang me up and said he was going to ask me to represent him at an event that only happens once every 10 years. So I thought at first he was going to send me off to the Oberammergau Passion Fair. And then I thought it might be the Lambeth Conference. But then he said, no, it's actually at a parish church in Cumbria. And I have to say, I wasn't aware of this service until now, but it is a great joy and a privilege to be here representing the Chaplain General. And just so you know who I am, my title is Assistant Chaplain General for what we call in the Army 2 Division, which is the northern part of Britain. So my task is the provision and coordination of chaplaincy to the Army in Scotland and the north of England. And that includes the regular Army and the Territorial Army and the Army Cadet Force. So I'm very pleased to see that we have representation here today from the Army Cadet Force also. That, by way of introduction, may I speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder how you balance change and continuity. And sometimes I have to say for myself, I find that quite difficult. We live in a world of enormous change and a very rapid pace of change. And sometimes it seems as though continuity is hard to hold on to. If we look around this church, or indeed I would suggest most parish churches in Britain, then we see signs of continuity. We see memorials. We see books of remembrance. We see windows with people's names in them. And we have the parish records. And those become more and more important as time goes on. And they remind us of that continuity. And if we lose it, then we lose our sense, not just of tradition and of history, but our sense of who we are and where we have come from. And before coming down here today, I had a look at one or two things on the parish history. And I'm not quite sure what the date was, but there was a reference to, I think, the comparatively recent death of a Mr. Atkinson, who was the last person who had been baptised by Theodore Bailey Hardy. And I thought that was a very powerful thing, because in that way, the life of Theodore Bailey Hardy reaches right up to our own time as well, in the life of another human being. And what we're called to do as Christians, not just as priests and ministers for those of us who are, but as Christians, is to do precisely that, to share our own lives with others, so that we can do something in the way of moulding history and of leaving our place in that continuity to which I refer. But perhaps for all the changes that there are in the world, there haven't been that many in war, in warfare, and in military chaplaincy, which is what I do for a living. And for those of us in the Royal Army Chaplains Department, clearly we still revere Theodore Bailey Hardy enormously, enormously so. And his are experiences and virtues to which I would suggest all of us can easily relate. And perhaps even more so with the current wars and campaigns that we fight today. I've spent 2 of the last 3 years away, one of them in Iraq and one of them in Afghanistan. And certainly in Afghanistan, we have a type of warfare that is quite similar to what happened in 1918. In other words, not the long-range, long-distant warfare of the Second World War and of other campaigns. Not the anti-terrorist campaign of Northern Ireland, but something that is very close, something where actually you see the enemy, you see him close up, and you engage with him. And no one knows quite how safe they are going to be. And in most military churches and chaplains, there is a copy of the famous print, the famous picture, of Hardy being presented by the King in the field with his Victoria Cross as his daughter looks on. And to most of us who serve now, that is something to which very clearly we can relate. And as we hear those readings of Hardy's own deeds and exploits, the idea of being there at the front, not at the rear of the line, but there at the front, becomes very true and very vivid. And I would suggest that if we look at Hardy's life, then almost all the virtues are there. He didn't need to go to war. In fact, they didn't really want him at first. He was too old. But actually, no. He stuck with it, he persevered, and in the end, they got him to go. They allowed him to go. In 1916, he could have stayed back in the rear. He could have stayed out of harm's way. And yet, that was the last thing he wanted to do. And in 1918, even the king wanted him to return home. But no, he stayed on. He stayed on. And you have there a very clear call of devotion to his duty and to his vocation. Nothing at all was going to divert him from that purpose to which he believed and knew that God had called him. And in between times, in addition to all those things, we can admire that mixture of courage and compassion. Those two things together. We may know people who are courageous, and we may know people who are compassionate. I wonder how many people we know who are courageous and compassionate to that degree. Perhaps we can say that these are universal virtues and values, and therefore they teach us something about human nature. And that surely is the point about good people. Not that they are good in themselves, not that they are good so that we can admire them, but because they are good, we can learn from them. They teach us something about human nature. They teach us something about life. They teach us something about ourselves. And therefore also, surely, they teach us about the nature of God. Because from human beings, from ourselves and from nature, we can deduce something of God. And from God, made visible in Christ, we can also learn about ourselves and about what it means to be human. And if we look through the Gospels, and perhaps particularly so in Holy Week and Easter, then we see qualities characteristic of Christ. Obedience, for example, the washing of the disciples' feet, all sorts of things in the wonderful stories of Holy Week, which teach us really what the point is about being human. We're called upon to learn these virtues and to live by them. And perhaps we can say that in Theodore Bailey Hardy, we have a very clear picture of that, of someone who made these virtues his and was not going to be diverted or swayed from them. And in doing so, he found, of course, not just encouragement in his earthly pilgrimage as a Christian, but the aim of that pilgrimage. In other words, through these things, to grow closer to Christ, to grow closer to God, to have a greater understanding of our fellow human beings. Military chaplains, like all clergy, are not shrinking violets. We can't afford to be, because if we're going to convey the gospel with any conviction, then we have to do so loudly and clearly. And we've already heard this afternoon of, for example, Stuart Kennedy, who was indeed a very famous extrovert. And many military chaplains of my own personal acquaintance are extroverts. I wonder, though, because from where I stand, as I look at Theodore Bailey Hardy, I suspect that even for the more formal times in which he lived, I suspect that he was a modest man. I suspect that he was a reserved man. I suspect that he might almost be described as shy. And it was in the schoolmaster, the country parson, almost against the grain, that God showed us these things. It was in that person that God showed us some of these virtues and values, and spoke very clearly, and speaks very clearly to us today. And finally, a story to compare that with from my own experience. I was visiting in a hospital in England, a soldier who had been sent back badly wounded from Afghanistan. And he said to me, he said, "Do you know our battalion chaplain? Do you know our battalion padre, Nick Dodd?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Wow," he said, "that is one really great man. He is a really good guy. Do you know, we had a service out in Afghanistan, and he put on all his clerical clothes, all his clerical robes and clobber, all of that he put on to take a service, just for us." And that was said by a soldier who was lying here, seriously injured in a hospital bed. And I found that hugely, hugely impressive. Soldiers don't ask much. What they ask is that someone actually cares for them, and that there is someone who is there when they need it. That's really what they ask, and they are fairly undemanding people. How they must have valued the ministry of Hardy. How they must have valued his ministry. Not just the famous things that we've heard about today, but the day-in, day-out pastoral care that he gave them. Because someone with a heart like that would live for other people, and soldiers would have known that. How they must have loved him. How they must have respected him. What an example he must have given them. And finally, 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 on behalf of the Royal Army Chaplains Department, thank you to you, thank you for honouring the memory of Theodore Bailey Hardy. Thank you for being the custodians, if you like, of his legacy. Thank you for keeping him before us. May God bless you for your faithfulness, and may he bring us all at the last, to his eternal glory.